Hello and welcome to yet another episode of the Orange and Black Soccer Cast. If you haven't already noticed, I am not Ray Zamora, and I am still going to take you through all we've got to talk about. I heard there was a game this weekend, but I'm sure we'll have to talk about that one at some point. More importantly, we're going to get to talk about some Orange County Soccer Club. For Ray, this is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast.
This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, the first and only podcast dedicated to Orange County Soccer Club, its fans, and supporters. Follow us on Twitter at @OCSC_SoccerCast or on Facebook at Orange and Black Soccer Cast.
Now, let's be honest, probably nobody ever watches the show or listens to the show to hear me speak, so we'll just get right into the gents who are joining me. First, from, well, originally from North Carolina or something, but now in Las Vegas, Mr. Brad Polonsky. Brad, how's it going?
It's going well, other than you butchering my last name. It is Polonsky, not Polotsky, but doing quite well. Here to talk some soccer.
Did it sound like Polotsky? My apologies, Brad. Larry, I don't know where you're from. And I don't really care. So how you doing, bud?
I am absolutely fantastic. I'm fired up. Let's go. Let's talk some football. Let's talk some USL Championship soccer. And more importantly, let's talk about what a huge pain in the ass Phoenix Rising fans are going to be for the next, I don't know how many months. Could it be any worse having them win? Let's be honest.
Well, I don't know. I'll let someone else answer that for us. Brad, you really wanted to talk about this game. Well, I really didn't want to talk about this game. So over to you, my friend.
Yeah, so this game was definitely an interesting one. I think for the first 60 minutes of this game, you could say Charleston was the better team, scoring a late first half goal. Phoenix didn't die, though. They stayed in as long as they could and did what we've come to expect out of them in this postseason. They found a way to score a late equalizer before sending this game to a shootout and watching the most epic collapse from a team. I mean, I've never seen a worse penalty kick than the last three from Charleston and the first one from Phoenix.
Yeah, Cuello, how do you say his name? C-U-E-L-L-O.
I believe you pronounced it correctly.
We're just going to go with Cuello, because we don't really care.
It matters, because this guy has got a huge foot. I mean, in our game in early September against him, he's the guy who blasted the winner from 35. Then he blasted a winner against us 2 weeks ago. And I think he also got the one against San Diego. And these were ripped goals. I mean, they were fire. And then he's going to try a freaking Panenka? What the hell are you thinking, dude? That is just, there's no logic to that. I'm sorry, USL Championship players, you guys are good. You're better than me. I'm not sure anybody's quite good enough at this particular level to pull off a Panenka in a championship game. So that was insane to me. But it was a good game. It was a fun game to watch, actually. But friggin' Phoenix, man, that was just nuts. Come on. 119th, 115th, 92nd, 89th minute, all on the road to tie or go ahead. That's just unheard of. And as much as I was hoping Charleston would win, I kind of had a feeling all along that Phoenix would win this game, because it reminded me of our 2021 team. It was just a team that was destined to win it all. Maybe shouldn't have, but won it all anyway.
Yeah. Definitely a lot of, I wouldn't say questionable. It's on par for what we expect from the USL officials. However, I think there was a missed one with the, what turned to be a penalty kick that was given and then kind of rescinded. There was definitely a moment where I would have at least given Carlos Harvey a yellow card. Although I saw on Twitter some people like Harry out of San Antonio were saying that it was a red card offense for headbutting Emilio Acaza, who was on the ground from that tackle. Definitely something that was missed. Was it game changing? I don't think so. I just think that it was what it was there. You can see this replay now. You can see Carlos Harvey just taunting Acaza on the ground. But at the end of the day, Larry's right. We kind of saw this is how Phoenix won the postseason. They scored a lot of late goals. They stayed in matches that they probably shouldn't have been in. And they were the better team in this game at the end.
Painful though it may be.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. We got there first. Yes. And I'll right just there. Say, you know, winning in 90 minutes is not for everybody. So, gents, any final thoughts on this match?
You know, all smack talk aside, Phoenix went out there and they earned their star. And, you know, it's funny, Keith in our Discord server had mentioned how insufferable their fans are going to be for the next year or so, to which I commented, no more so than we were to them in 2021. So I completely get it. I understand, but I'll go ahead and say it. And if any of them happen to be looking and watching, congratulations, Rising, on finally getting your star. You guys, you came out of nowhere to win it again, much in the same fashion as we did in 2021. So I'm partially happy for them. And I still will make the offer of just Venmo me $5, Banditos, and I will write you some chants for your team. I'll be more than happy to. So you can do something other than the regular four that you do.
Oh boy. All right. So much vitriol from this one. Lovely. Would I be able to entice anybody into wanting to perhaps talk about the team that we are all actually on this podcast for and probably all fans of, especially after what Larry just said? Does this sound good?
You're the host right now.
You're the host. It's your show, baby.
I'm the host until Ray shows up and he's tardy. Couldn't be me. Anyway, we're into player grades. This is where we're at in the year. For those who have missed the last 5 years of this podcast, here's how it works. We're going to go through all the players. We're going to assign them grades. Some of us are going to use statistics. Some of us are going to use the eye test. And some of us, Ray, are just going to make things up. We're going to go from least amount of minutes played to most amount of minutes played. And this is throughout the entire thing. If you think that we are making stuff up, one, you're absolutely right. And two, you should absolutely tell us because I want your opinions too.
Hey, I'll give an example of how Ray grades somebody. This particular player scored a goal, had two yellow cards, and has 9 letters in combined in his first, last, and middle name. And therefore, I'm giving him a B- on the season.
No, he'd give a letter grade that isn't associated with actual letter grades. It'd be like a K for K. He did some stuff.
K.
I believe he once gave Raymond Dre a really good grade because they share a first name. But that is basically how it's going to go here. Producer Andy, please fire us up. I can't wait any more time while a certain missing member of this podcast shows up. But Nicholas Ruiz certainly didn't waste any time showing up in his debut season. So, Larry, we'll go to you first as we look here. One match played, no starts, just a whole 8 minutes.
One of the easier grades that we're going to do tonight, it's an incomplete. However, if we were grading him on performance for OCSC2, I think he scored a ton of goals for the team. I don't know the stats, though, and I didn't get to see any games, but it seemed like every time I saw something on Instagram for OCSC2, it seemed like Nico was putting the ball in the net. So he would probably get a pretty decent grade if we were doing that too. But for the first team, he is definitely an incomplete.
Brad, any dissenting opinion here? Any reason for your grade?
I'm also incomplete. One match played, I think it was middle of the season. I can't quite remember when. But, you know, I agree with Larry. He he played a lot for the academy team, and we'll have to see more of him next year to really assign a full grade.
He is absolutely one for the future. Good old Russ. He's popped in. Another incomplete. So 4 for 4 for now, and maybe we'll bother getting Ray's opinion later on. But let's just fly through it. On to Joseph Buckley. 10 whole minutes more than Mr. Ruiz. And got himself a tackle. So same order, Larry.
Incomplete. Don't know enough about him. Talked to him a couple times on the sidelines. Seems like a real genuine, nice kid. But for the first, I don't even know how he did on the second team. So, of course, for the first team, we've got to go with an incomplete plus for the one tackle.
That's my favorite grade so far, an incomplete plus. Brad, give us your thoughts,
please. Yeah, same thing. I'm not going to waste any time. Incomplete. We'll see more of him in the future, I hope.
I think that is the key here, is a lot of these are going to be incompletes. A lot of these are literal children who can probably just barely drive.
Not 13 like Sacramento.
Yes. Not quite child labor level yet. The key here is to write down what we've said about these players so that when Ray or myself says something really dumb, that is when you get to go 2 years down the line. When they transfer Feyenoord, then you get to point at us and go, "You're an idiot." And
idea what you're talking about.
I will hold my hands up and say, "Yes, I was." In this context, so this is for the long con. Mr. Ben Norris, who, for those watching, he has to look the youngest out of everybody that we've looked at so far. Brad, you're going first this time because Larry doesn't want to.
Again, this is incomplete. This is that part of the show where it's like, we're going to move past these guys. There will be more from him in the future for sure.
Larry.
Go ahead. You give yours, Brad. Dylan, you go ahead. I've got some info on Mr. Norris.
Okay. I just want you to know that I'm incredibly insulted. I have not spoken while muted one time in the show tonight. So
you just jinxed yourself.
Yeah, it'll come. I got to be an incomplete here. Again, we're flying through these things, but along with what the academy team managed to do this year, just to give a little bit of context to it, they were quite good. If you're reading Russell's comment, they made the postseason tournament for the academy. Again, part of the club idea is a pathway to pro, and this professional pipeline. It starts with a few minutes here and there. Then it's a Kobe Henry thing where you get a season and then you get a little bit of a season.
And then you get sold to Feyenoord.
Yeah. Or race. And then we get to just see what happens down the line. So it's a little bit exciting. And I'm waiting for one day. It's going to be one of these kids that we're going, well, he didn't really do anything in 8 minutes. Inevitably does something really freaking cool for the U.S. national team.
Yeah. In regards to young Mr. Norris, obviously he didn't play at all. 3 games, 37 minutes, 1 yellow card. So he should get an incomplete. However, I am not giving him an incomplete, and I'm going to expand as to why. His 1 yellow card came in the game against Phoenix at home. And I talked about this the following Monday. After the game, I talked about on the show, this kid was a difference maker for that brief time that he was on the field. He was everywhere, and it was fun to watch him play. Now, here's the good part. Young Mr. Norris, his yellow card was earned taking down one Mr. Carlos Harvey of Phoenix. He took him down. This shrimp, this 16-year-old tiny little guy, took down this muscular star and laid him on the carpet, and Harvey stayed down for a while for it. Because of that, and that alone, and my disdain for Carlos Harvey, and if anybody has Ben Norris's phone number, text him, have him listen right now. Ben Norris gets the first A-plus on the season for Orange County Soccer Club because he got a yellow card taking down Carlos friggin' Harvey. Yeah, let's go, Ben. I love you, kid. Next.
We tried to warn you guys.
I don't know how to follow that one up. To anybody still listening, thank you. Higher hopes for this player, I think, at the beginning of the season, and I believe it's over for his career, actually. Brad, will you take it away since he once played in your city?
Morten Bjørshol, you didn't play in Reno. Unless you're talking Vegas, in which case I don't remember those days.
In fact, referring to Vegas.
Okay, Mr. Bjørshol, you know, we really had high hopes for him this season. He's the first player that I'm actually going to give a grade. We had high hopes for him. We thought that he was gonna be a starter. He was going to fill in that hole that Dylan Powers ended up playing. I never really got to meet or talk with him this season. However, just because he didn't end up doing what we wanted him to and then retired halfway through the season, I'm going to give him a very modest D plus.
Well, that is, we had such a high with Mr. 1 Ben Norris to 1 Mr. Morten Bjørshol. Larry, care to give us your thoughts on this?
I did get to talk to Morten a few times on the sidelines during the season. He's a super, super nice kid. I don't know what injuries he had, but he had injuries that kept him out, and then he decided to hang it up later on. Unfortunately, because 53 matches, 55 minutes, didn't get to see enough of him. But because I gave an incomplete plus to Buckley for his one tackle, I will repeat and give a incomplete plus to Morten for lack of play time and one tackle.
Again, we see Russ chiming in with a grade here. Morty getting a D. We don't just want Russ's opinion. Please give us yours if you're listening or you're watching live. This one is difficult for me. I'm going to give him an incomplete, but I do want to give him a special little nod. He announced that he was retiring, played a little bit with the academy, and, you know, I wasn't at training every single day, but continued training through the season. So there's a level of professionalism there that I think hopefully rubs off on some of the younger players that he was playing with in said academy matches, but probably not everybody's favorite Morten on the team this year. Onwards and upwards, I believe, Mr. Ashton Miles, who once upon a time looked like a kid, and then, as some of our players tend to do, show up a few months later looking like grown men. And, Larry, since you have a kid who's kind of doing that right now, why don't you go first?
Ashton, you know what? I am going to give Ashton a C+, and I will expand as to why. Obviously, not a lot of minutes, 66 minutes, that's it. But he's getting a C+. Here's why. While we were playing a man down against San Antonio, and in the next to last game of the season, Morten Carlson had enough faith in this kid, this 17, 18-year-old, to go ahead and put him on the pitch in one of the most important games of the year, and he played really well during that game. But here's why he gets a little bit more of a grade than a C+. The very next day on Instagram, he posted photographs of himself going to the homecoming. So he went from playing in a professional soccer game to homecoming. And because of that, young Mr. Miles, I'm bumping him up to a solid B for the season. Well done, Ashton.
I feel like you're applauding yourself there, Larry.
Well, you know, I got stuff going on.
Wonderful. Brad, your opinion, please.
Yeah, I mean, obviously 66 minutes isn't a lot. However, I felt like he played more. When he was on the pitch, he did some pretty good things. Larry brought up the San Antonio game, which is what I was thinking too. I think he's a player that we will see be the next Kobe Henry of this team. He plays the same role. He has the same physicality, same build. Ashton Miles should get more time next year. He's still a high schooler, like Larry said. Lots of things to look forward to with this kid. I'm going to give him a C, just a regular C.
Just a regular C. And we'll see what the last member of this podcast joining us has to say tonight. Mr. Ray Samora, welcome.
What's up? How's it going? All y'all, what's wrong with Brad?
Dylan's pun.
Yeah, wasn't great. That's wasn't more good. Of Ray's thing, I think. But Ray, care to give a grade on Mr. Ashton Miles?
I mean, obviously, after all that, I have to give it a C, right? Just because of the great pun play by Dylan. Ashton Miles, obviously not much production for the team this season, but when he was called upon, he did pretty well. And we know there's a bright future for what this kid has. So unfortunately, I'm in all seriousness, I'm giving him a C just because not enough to see from him.
Dear God in heaven.
What the heck are we looking at? Is that you, Dylan? You do some Photoshop work on your gym picture, huh, Dylan?
Yeah, I got the same biceps. You can really tell. And I'm definitely not like 5 inches shorter than him.
Is that supposed to scare us into giving him a better grade because, he might be able to squash us with one pinky?
It's entirely possible. I feel like maybe I should give him more than an incomplete. But I'm still going to give him an incomplete. I mean, less than 90 minutes overall.
He's looking pretty complete.
Yeah, I think that's the thing is when you have a player at this age who's able to step in on occasion and still actually be a reliable, granted in limited cameos, but a reliable presence while so young in a really difficult position, that gives me a lot of hope about what a year from now might look like for him. If we're lucky to see him in 2 years, what that might look like. And, 5-10 years down the line where he ends up. So incomplete, but this is absolutely yet another player that I'm optimistic about in the years coming. I believe that's all for Mr. Cameron Dunbar. On loan from, I want to say, Minnesota United 2. Once played for a garbage team from Carson. Well, we'll just go to you, Larry, because I feel like you're most likely going to say something. You're the most likely to say something crazy. So I want you to go first.
Not on Cameron. Didn't see enough of Cameron. He's fast. He is kind of exciting to watch. He is promising. And I sincerely hope that we have him on the team next year because, he could be a guy who could put 10, 12 goals in the back of the net next season. So for this year, though, got to give him an incomplete.
Ray, I can see that you're trying to shovel food down your gullet at this minute. So I'm just going to go to Brad first.
Yeah. Cameron Dunbar, I think Larry hit it off the nose. Exciting player. I think I saw enough of him to give him a grade in his 5 matches. While he didn't end up on the score sheet, he could have a couple of times. The kid, I don't even know how old he is. He's fast. He has serious skill with the ball at his feet. I'm going to give him a C+.
Ray, you look like you're maybe done chewing, so we'll go to you now.
Before I give the grade here, is anyone else weirded out by Larry's face at this point? I mean, it's really weird to see a beardless Larry. As far as Cameron Dunbar goes, I think I'm going to probably upset some people on this grade, but I'm giving him a B+, maybe even an A-. I know very limited appearances for him with Orange County, but one of the highlights of the season for me was, I believe, his debut with the club where he dribbled past like 5 or 6 players.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't result in a goal or something, but his just ball skill was probably displayed in that one moment as one of the top, if not the top, ball control on the team. Definitely one of the top 1, 2, or 3 on the team just from that debut and that first appearance. So unfortunately, he came on alone, so the odds of him being back next year, probably very slim to none. But I think he did really good. I wish he would not have gotten injured, and we would have had a great maybe appearance or two from him in the playoffs, and that would have been awesome to see.
Would have been awesome. What wasn't to be? He's a little bit older than some of the players we've talked about so far. I believe he's 21. But I'm going to give him a grade because he hit that 90-minute mark, and that's where I've arbitrarily decided that grades deserve to be given. He is an unrefined diamond in my eyes. The big question mark I have about him is, I think it's always going to be a bit of a what if. What if he was actually fit for his loan here? what if he was actually able to play and make his mark on this team? Clearly, he was well thought of, and I remember his name many a time being brought up as we played Los Dos, because he was typically giving us some fits. So I'm going to give him a C. I feel like it's maybe a safe bet, but like you guys said, that little bit of ability and directness to go and beat your man and go and beat another man and a couple more after that as well, was, I think, really integral to the way we played. And so kind of seeing an idea and an identity in an Orange County player, that's what you'd want. But there'll always be that question mark of, what if he was fit? On to the next one, I believe, Mr. Juan Santana. There is one correct answer for all of you to give, Mr. Juan Santana. And if you don't, go ahead and give Mr. Juan Santana this correct answer grade, you're off the show forever. So, Ray, you first.
My grade for Mr. Juan Santana is an O, because he is not old enough yet. Well, I guess he is technically old enough for high school, but he's a youngster on this team. So I'm going with elementary school grading policies for him. So he gets an O for outstanding in his few appearances. Was amazing. The best goalie when you look at the goals allowed per 90 minutes. What else can I say? But yeah, I'm going to give him an O just because he's one of the youngsters on the team.
Ray, any final thoughts to the listeners who have listened to you for 5.5 years as you make your final appearance on the Orange Black Soccer Cast?
Hey, you know what? If that's the way it's going to be, that's the way to go out. I'm standing by my O for Juan Santana.
All right, thanks, Ray. It's been a pleasure. What would you like to give Mr. Juan Santana on this wonderful episode?
I would like to give Mr. Juan Santana, you know what? I'll be generous. I feel like you're going to give him an A. I'm going to give him an A-. He came in, 2 good relief appearances.
You better be kicking Brad out after this next comment here, Dylan.
I gave him a real grade. O is not a grade. We warned the audience. He definitely did well in relief of Shuttler, but clearly the team saw that we needed another keeper in bringing in Eric Lopez. So I'm going to give him an A-, and that's the only reason why it's a minus and not just an A.
Larry.
Well, first of all, I would like to thank Ray, and I would like to thank Brad for their time on the show. It's been a pleasure. And folks, I would like you all to make sure that you tune in here in the next 2 weeks for the DMB show, the Dylan and Butterfast show, because there's only going to be two of
great,
us.
Just give a grade, Larry.
We might have Taylor come in as a guest host sometime. Producer Andy's coming with us because obviously these guys do not know when a player deserves an A+. 90 minutes, no goals. Shut down the best scoring team in the league on their home turf in his professional debut in front of 20,000 people. Are you kidding me? An O, an A-? What is the matter with you two?
Dude, an O is the best grade you can get in elementary school. I gave him a top grade just like you did. So
this is not elementary school. He's a grown-ass man. He's taller than I am.
Dylan has officially lost control of this episode.
Hey, it was going great until you showed up, right? For Mr. Juan Santana. Next, let's go.
Yeah, it's absolutely an A+ for him. I think a large part of Eric Lopez coming in was just because we have a very young keeper. We don't need to get him shelled in some games, and we did kind of, you know, drop off a few performances there, and you just don't need to be tanking a kid's confidence, especially in goal. But much like I said about Ashton Miles, to be called on in an emergency, I mean, really thinking you're not going to see any minutes, you're just going to train, be around the professional game and grow, to you're the backup now because an MLS goalkeeper has decided to retire, stepping in and going for it.
Can I just say, Dylan, you made my case because you called him a kid. So you made the case for my O grade. I'm done with that.
How old do you think people in elementary school are? Yeah.
Yes, that's elementary-sized kid.
God, this episode was so great for the first 25 minutes. There's definitely nobody listening at this point. I have to give the kid an A+. That kick save in Sacramento, to keep it family friendly, yeah, a freaking plus. Well done. I cannot wait to see what comes of him. Let's take it. Let's, you know what? Yeah, Eric Lopez time. Let's do it. I'm going to go first on this one. I'm going to give him a C because there were a few things where he could have done better. But ultimately, when the 10 people in front of you are also having an off night, I want to be a little bit forgiving in that aspect. Ray, I beg of you, we did warn the listeners already. Try and give a real grade here.
Oh, you okay, dude, we've been doing this forever, and I do not always give 100% real grades, and that's the fun of it. With Eric Lopez, though, here's what I'm going to say. He was let down by multiple aspects. He was let down by his former team for not getting pretty much any game time for a while. He was let down by his defense when he was in goal, and because of that, I'm going to give him a C+. I'm not going to give him a C. I'll give him a little bump because he was let down with the way things happened to get him to the point where he was. Was he successful? No, but it's not 100% his fault. So C+ for Eric.
Brad, before I get your opinion, and I just want you, even though the two of us didn't factor this in, a goalkeeper wearing the number 75, is that permissible? And what grade does Eric Lopez get?
I mean, I'm not a goalkeeper expert. I believe I would have to ask Taylor her opinion on the number 75. As for his performance on the field, you know, we played San Antonio twice. They were two completely different games. I don't want to blame Eric Lopez as the sole reason, but the Eric Lopez experiment, I feel like, was a failure later on in the season with the team. I don't think he meshed with the defense in front of him very well. And, you know, at the end of the day, we have to give our opinion. One save on six shots isn't very good. I'm going to give him a D+, just like I did Bjorshall.
Oh, boy. All right. Final thoughts, anybody?
I would like to give a grade on Mr. Lopez, if I may.
And I believe Dylan has not either.
I thought I did, but I might.
Dylan went first and gave a C.
Yeah. Larry, your thoughts on the goalkeeper wearing 75?
Not impressed at all. I'm really not impressed. I don't think I felt like, especially in that San Antonio game, he looked incredibly uncomfortable. And yes, the team overall had a bad night that night. But come on, 180 minutes and 5 goals. I don't care if it's 1-4, 3-2, 5-0, 2.5 goals a game, especially at that point in the season when we really could have used some points in September. I got to give him a D-.
Harsh, but understandable. I've mentioned twice already, I think, young players who came in and gave great, great accounts of themselves. Eric Lopez, 24. Obviously, we've talked about the team in front of him maybe not doing it. It didn't seem like it was there for them. So a bit disappointing, but at the same time, I think we should, you know, it's great to be able to talk about players when it goes right. This was maybe a little bit not always his fault, but, you know, it didn't always go right for him as well. On to the next one. I think we've got one or two more. Ah, yes. Larry, no German, but you're great for Mr. Kevin Lankford.
No German, because my German sucks. You know what? I really like Lankford. He is big. He is strong. He plays very smart. I'm keeping my fingers crossed that we do bring him back next season. I know there was an option for it with him coming. I would like very much to see him play whatever the hell his actual natural position is. I don't know. The guy literally played everywhere except goalie this season. He played center back. He played on the right. He played on the left back. He played in the middle. He played striker. He played wing. The guy literally did every single thing on that pitch, and I really liked him. And the only reason I'm only giving him a B is just because only 12 matches, just, you know, not just a little over a third of the season. So yeah, I'll give him a solid B. I like him a lot. I hope he comes back so we see some more.
Wonderful. Someone's really clacking away over there. I'm guessing it's Brad, so we're just gonna have you chat, bud.
Yeah, Lankford, I feel like he's a very quality player that we couldn't find the right position for him on the team. A goal and an assist. I believe that goal came against Vegas. So for that alone, it bumps the grade up a little bit from a C+, in my opinion, to a B-. And I'm only saying that because I feel like he wasn't as well contributing of a sub as I hoped. But also, I know he was playing out of position because he is a natural striker.
Ray has already warned us that we're going to love his grade, so go for it.
Is it my turn?
Yeah.
So y'all got to do your homework. Kevin Langford's from Germany. Although he is an American youth international, he's from Germany. We got to use German grading system. He gets a 1.5 from me, which translates to an A-, B+. So that's what he gets from me. He was awesome on the pitch, was asked to do a multitude of things, and although he probably wasn't amazing at any of them, he was solid at all of them. And that's all you can ask for someone that's being thrown in to play defense, play striker, play midfield. The only thing he didn't get a chance to do was play goalie. And maybe there was a chance he almost got a chance there when Eric Lopez was struggling. Who knows? But a 1.5 for me.
I love the idea that I think in that context that Ray would say, yes, Kevin Langford, go and goal and not Juan Santana. But I digress. I'm going to give him a B+ in this one, I thought. Just generally being able to play wherever is super valuable. Same way Mikko Kuningas has done before. I would maybe even argue the same way Dylan Powers kind of proved this year. Granted, he spent most of it as a center back. I digress. I think an ability to play wherever, whenever is asked of you. I didn't hear a bad word about Kevin or his professionalism. And I think it takes a good character and a pretty model professional to just say, you know what, I'll play wherever it takes for this team. And it takes a pretty great player to come into this team, which was just about firing in all cylinders and actually, make it into 4 starts. So kudos to him. I think there's an option on him for next year. I'm waiting for Larry to nod. Ray's nodding instead. I'm actually just going to trust both of them here. I hope to see him back. I think we talked about this a few months ago. Does anybody disagree with that?
Nope.
No. This is an audio show, first and foremost. I will remind you, so sitting in silence and shaking your head is not the best. On to the next player, please. Korede Oshindina. I miss him already. I'm going to give him a B+, because, and yes, I am going first. A B+, I think. You know, he was quite good and we were quite bad. And I think he earned the move to the Netherlands. I hope he's doing well. I know there's been some personal stuff that's happened, and I'm sure moving back across the world doesn't help anything. But I'm absolutely delighted for him, and I'll miss seeing him in orange. We're just gonna go down the line. Ray, you next.
Ooh, I get to go next.
And be good. Really,
be good. You're asking me to be good.
Yes.
All right. Here's my good grade. It's a T for terrific transfer and whatever other soccer terminology T can be with. That probably translates to an A- in grade book form. So Brad, taking your notes on the grades, you could put an A-. You don't have to put a T. But T for terrific. All right, cool. I like it, Brad. There's my grade.
Larry, we're going to jump out of order. Actually, I lied. I want your opinion here on players cutting holes in their socks to potentially alleviate cramps. And as well, I would like your grade for Korede Oshindina.
I know nothing about players cutting holes in their socks, so I don't know what the hell you're talking about there. So you're going to have to fill me in on that later. As for Korede, let me just say this. Wow. Just wow. 5 goals in 471 minutes. So let's do a little bit of math here. That is a goal every, what did I figure it out to? 4 goals in what is equivalent to 5.25 games. Extrapolate that over 34 games. That is 26 goals, which is a golden boot, and B, pretty sure that either ties or breaks the USL Championship single season record for goals scored. Now, is he going to score? Is he going to play all 34 games and, get all of those minutes? Obviously, he didn't. But man, he was so good when he was on the pitch for us. I would give him an A+, but there's not enough minutes. And you know what? Hell yeah. I'm going to go ahead and give Correa an A+, because not only was his pace worked out to 26 goals over a 34-match season, but he also just recently scored his first goal for his new team over there in the Netherlands. So congratulations to Correa on that and all the success in the world, young man. I hope you do great, great things moving forward. Correa is getting an A+ from me.
We love it. Brett, last but not least, please.
Yeah, Correa, you know, I did the math real quickly. It's a goal every about three halves, 117 minutes. He was amazing for Orange County, earned his transfer to Dordrecht, scored against Young PSC. I know I just spelled that wrong, but definitely earned his spot. I will give him a good B+.
I was hoping that someone was going to fact check that 26 goals would be enough. I believe Cameron Lancaster is the single season goal record holder, but I'm getting up there in age these days, so my memory's shot.
No, it's not Lancaster. It's the dude who played for Colorado and then moved over to Saudi.
Haji Berry. Egypt.
He moved to Haji Berry.
Egypt.
I guess I lied about my memory not being that good, but that was also like 2 years ago. All right, on to the next one, because I think we got a couple more before we finish up for the evening. Ah, yes, Mr. Emil Nielsen, excuse me. Sweet tats, not that's where my grading system lies here. I'm gonna give him a C. I'm not actually gonna take anything away from the fact that he found it hard to adjust playing here, and living here away from his family. I will just remind everybody that we are a very long way from Scandinavia. That being said, I did have some higher expectations for one of the more senior professionals, one of the more senior players, and someone with a pretty great track record of success in front of net. With the caveat of we were terrible when he was here. So right down the middle for him. Brad, you first.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. The fact that he left and we started winning is not necessarily a slight on him. We were loaded on the striker position this year between him, Sparky, Milan, of course, among missing Nielsen at the time we thought was going to be a big deal. Turns out it wasn't. I'll give him a C as well.
Beautiful. On to you, Larry.
I'm going to give Emil a C as well. Very disappointed that he wasn't around for the entire season. I really, really liked the guy. Had a lot of chats with him. Super, super good human being. Scored a couple of goals for us. Nothing spectacular, nothing earth-shattering. Didn't do any harm. Just a right middle-of-the-road C for Emil.
Because we haven't checked in with a guest rating in a little bit, I'll just... Russ said that he gets a B-, maybe C+, because he quit to go home. And I see where I give some kindness and some leeway. Russ is a hardliner here. So, Ray, with that being said, do you agree? Did he quit on the team? And please, again, give us a reasonable, realistic E through F, please.
E through F?
I'll take an S as an option, too.
This is a tough one. I was trying to think about it while all y'all are going through, and I really can't think of a grade for him. So I have to go with a C, because I don't recall anything bad happening with him when he played, but he also, like people have said, ditched us. And I don't blame him. Like Dylan said, we're nowhere near Scandinavia. But yeah, it's a tough one. And it was so far back in the early part of the season. I think it was almost when I saw his name, I'm like, wait, he played with us this year. I thought it was last season. So I'll give him a C.
Thank you. Wow. I'm
sorry. I couldn't be more creative with it, by the way.
I'm almost underwhelmed here. Actually, I realized by asking you to go before me, I'm asking to be wound up, and then I beg you and you give me what I ask for. And I'm just disappointed. So that's on me for putting you in an impossible situation. Yes, for those who have just joined and you're thinking, oh, Juan Santana only played two matches. I'm sure he got an A-plus across the board. No, and so this will be the last time that you ever hear from Ray and Brad on this podcast. On to the next player. Daniel Pitcherson. Well, this is my turn to say I forgot he played here. This is another play where I think him leaving and us happening to get good were related to one another. I'm going to give him a B. I think captaincy in the kind of situation that he was asked to be in was always going to be difficult. It's a little bit disappointing, but I think the professionalism to still show up week in, week out, and being a good example, at least on the pitch, because that's all I can speak for, does go leaps and bounds when we're talking about a team that skews pretty young and a team with a lot of up-and-coming professionals. So, Larry, why don't you give us a grade here?
You know, unfortunately for Danny, his time here was not good. I mean, obviously, as we all know, we've discussed it many times, the team stunk in 2022. And to start off 2023, we were not any better. And, you know, Danny was in the heart of that the entire time. And that is very unfortunate because he's such a great guy, incredibly professional player. I wish we could have seen more of him. I was very happy and excited when he got the captain's band. I thought it was well-deserved and the right choice at the time. Unfortunately, it just, I don't know if his contract ran out, if it was only for that amount of time or he wanted to go back home. It's hard to really say, but, I'm going to give Danny a C, but I'm going to bump him up to a C+ for the captaincy. And, I wish him nothing but the best. And I hope that everything's going well over back in Denmark for him.
Yeah. I will say that if you have a player who's probably doesn't have a lot of time left on his contract, if you can go ahead and find a mutually beneficial move, that seems like what this was. Ray, because it looks like you're about to fall asleep on us, and you seem shattered after this flight, why don't you go first? Or why don't you go next?
Go first. Wow. So that means Larry doesn't count because I'm going first on this grade. But this, I this is another one where I'm thinking really hard as to what I would grade Daniel Pettersson. I think whenever we talk to players, that's what they said. It was like Pettersson or something like that. Although we always called him Peterson. He was a great person on the roster. I think he wanted to be here. I think he wanted to be successful here. When things got a little bit difficult, I don't know where the decision came from to move on. I think it was just sort of a mutual thing, like you were saying, I think, Dylan. But I think he was under contract for the full season. I'm just going to give him a C+. I'm going to stop talking and just give him a C+. This is a tough one for me.
Okay. I understand. Brad, did I get a grade from you? I'm sorry. I've jumped out of order.
No, not from Pettersson.
What's going on? Please go.
Pettersson, I'm going to give him a C. I loved him. He was a great player. I think he was definitely one of the better players from our year last year. And even when he played this year, I feel like he wasn't the reason we would win games and he wasn't the reason we would lose games. And therefore, I think a C is an acceptable grade.
Fundabar, or whatever they say in Denmark. It's most certainly not that. On to the next one, please. Mr. Cody Cropper, who I am assuming is probably going to get a lot of really bad grades from everybody for probably underperforming what we'd expected. And then because this seems to be a theme with a lot of you leaving midway through the season. So, Ray, you first.
May I get to go first on Cody, huh? I feel bad about this, but I wanted him to succeed on this team. I was probably one of the more excited that we signed Cody Cropper when we brought him in. I know there was a lot of you that were like, stats don't really look great when you actually dig into him. I have to go with D-. He looked like he was already retired in the matches he played with Orange County. He looked like he was giving it that one last hurrah and realized really quickly that it wasn't going to work and was just sort of figuring out. It's like, when do I tell that person that I want to break up with him? Do I wait another couple dates? Do I do it now, or do I wait till we're close to being engaged? I don't know. But that's just what Cody Cropper seemed to me when I watched him. So I'm giving him a D-. I think that's what I said.
Is everything good at home, Ray? Just a little segue, but a little aside.
everything's great at home. But again, it's just, it felt like with Cody Cropper that like once he like got into the relationship with Orange County, he almost sort of knew that it wasn't the right fit, and he was just sort of playing it out until he could figure out when to say he's done and he's leaving and he's ready to retire.
At risk of getting in trouble with the club, I won't say anything. Brad, you're braid here.
I'm not as harsh on Cropper as I feel like the rest of the group is. Yes, I think he was to blame for a couple of games, specifically the Open Cup match. If we were grading him on that Open Cup match alone, it's an F. That was probably one of the worst goalkeeping games we've ever done. But honestly, I'll give him a C minus, maybe a D plus, I think is a little more fair. He wasn't the worst player we had on this team. And I feel like the organization of how we weren't scoring goals when he was the starting keeper was more to do with us losing than Cody himself. But I'll give him a C minus.
We're just moving on down the line. Larry, would you care to give us your opinion?
When I saw that we had signed this MLS goalkeeper, I started looking up and seeing who he was. And then I saw that there 10 years and not a whole lot of minutes played, frankly, over that last 10 years. So a backup number two, had one season where he got some, maybe 1,000 or 1,200 minutes. So I wasn't really wowed by it. It just meh, and a shoulder shrug emoji on Cody. I mean, we sucked while he was here. I don't think it was his fault. I guess. I don't know. I don't have anything bad. Let's go with Cody Cropper C. There's a lot of C's in there, so we're just going to go ahead and stick with that.
Well, I'm going to give him a C-. Maybe it almost feels harsh, but I feel like I typically grade goalkeepers so kindly because it's such a thankless job.
There was only one grade that we should have been giving him, and you all failed it, so you all are off the show forever.
I don't know why you're still talking. We kicked you off like 30 minutes ago. That's actually going to do it for all the ad or for all the grades. We do have to kick Ray off the show as quickly as possible. Thank you, gentlemen, for your thoughts. Thank you to those watching, listening along, giving us your thoughts. We've got, I think, probably one or two more episodes of this to all go through. But it's probably time for everyone's either most or least favorite two segments. We've just combined it into one. I'm not the best host here. Random thoughts. Brad, we'll start with you. And without fail, Brad has decided...
Oh, we've almost made a whole episode of not being muted. So I'm going to go ahead and... I got two. I got a soccer news and I got a record to show this week. My soccer news is if you look over the last 3 weeks at the Premier League, Everton is a better team than Ray's Spurs. And I think that's all the sample we need to just show that Postecoglou, whatever his name is washed as a coach. And with that said, here's Zamfir, the Romance of the Pan Flute. The Romanian pan flute god with such covers as Yesterday from the Beatles, Just the Way You Are by Billy Joel, and Your Song by Elton John. Really, if you want a nice afternoon, Zamfir.
I cannot believe that we gave you 60 seconds, but if I could just have five more from you, can you try and say the Tottenham manager's last name for me, please?
Coach P.
No, wait. The better thing is, spell it or you're kicked off the show for life.
Nah, he's already off the show because he was talking nonsense.
Postecoglou.
Oh, my God. Hey, Ray.
Good Googling.
Is it about Tottenham or perhaps?
Well, I mean, Brad already brought up Tottenham, so how am I supposed to mention Tottenham at this point, which is awesome. Thanks for the save, Brad, because now I don't have to answer to Matt in the chats because you already brought it up. But I have two. I have one comment and one question for y'all. My comment is, my son's team, we went undefeated for the season, and we are the champions. So cue the music. We can't play it on our show, so just cue it up on your phone and play it in the background while you're listening to the rest of this. Question for y'all. I know some of y'all play Football Manager. So Football Manager 24 came out. I started a brand new game with that. I am coaching Pacific FC in the Canadian Premier League. At what point can you claim championship if you're halfway through the season and 12 to 15 points up on the second place team? Is it okay for me to start being excited about the championship?
Hey, Larry, what's your random thought for the week?
I'm going to go serious on y'all for just half a second. I don't care if you're on the side of the Israelis. I don't care if you're on the side of the Palestinians. I don't care if you love Hamas. The side that you need to be on is, well, I do care if you love Hamas. The side that you need to be on is a whole bunch of innocent children dying. That is the side that you need to be on. So stop all this other crap about, you know, who's doing this and who's doing what. Let's focus on innocent children dying in a part of the world where they don't need to be dying. That's all I'm going to say on that. That's my rant.
I feel bad for bringing up a joke after you say that, Larry, but what part of the world should innocent children be dying? Because you said that part of the world specifically.
If they play in club soccer from Irvine.
Well, that's not my son, so that's awesome.
Oh, okay. My
go ahead, Dylan.
God. There are most definitely people that listen to the show that have kids play youth soccer in Irvine.
Hey, Russell. Sorry, brother. Love you.
I mean, let's be real. I don't think anybody listened to this after Ray showed up. Wow. I think really quickly, just because we have about 2.5 minutes left. If you were playing bingo on tonight's show and you had Brad muting himself, Ray giving a stupid grade, a rant from Larry, Tottenham mention, as long as it lines up with that free spot, I do believe that you have in fact won Orange and Black Soccer Cast but bingo.
No one would have picked Brad to mention Tottenham on it, so no, that can't be one of them.
I feel like that one has an asterisk like most of Ray's grades. Yep.
Well, you know what? Ray's youth soccer team was also mentioned, so maybe it's like half for each, and it's a six-part bingo. Point is, great, wonderful. My random thought, I think I picked the correct order. Going to follow Larry on this one, a little more serious. Days are shorter, and you know, there's a bunch of stress of holidays and families, and maybe you like your family. Maybe you don't like your family. Maybe you have to host them. Whatever it is, you know, reach out to one another and be kind, and we are all not going to get to see each other as much as we normally do. And for myself, even less than I already rarely do. So don't be afraid to, you know, reach out and say hi, see how people are doing. Be good to yourself over the next couple months. And hang out and listen to our show and give us some grades. And then be back here in February when Ray is not on the show and it's just me and Larry talking trash all hour long.
What we need to do is we will invite, after we do our grades and our awards, we will do one last episode. We'll invite fans that want to jump on the show and grade us on how we did this season and see how that goes. we'll see how many of them love you, Dylan, and want to keep you over me.
Oh, certainly none of them. But we got through a load of work in just about 59 minutes today. So for everybody who's made an appearance tonight, for recent bar graduate and occasional Orange and Black Soccer Cast contributor, Taylor. Congratulations. And
congrats, Taylor.
For producer Andy as well. This has been the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, and we are out. Oh, Gary, you are my team.